If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and I have a short little episode for you today featuring an interview with Brittany Haynes from The Traitors and Big Brother. I was supposed to also have an interview with Danielle Reyes for you, but alas, there were some scheduling conflicts with our original time, and now it looks like it probably won't happen. But I still wanted to give you the Brittany interview. I only had really 10 minutes with her the morning after the finale and reunion aired. She had a big press day that day. And to me, she seemed, at least at the beginning, like she was still pretty sort of like shaken up from the fallout and the reaction to her voting to banish Danielle, which I'm sure she expected. But as you'll hear her say in the interview, the fact that she had to wait so long for that to be revealed to the world seems like it was almost like eating her up inside. So I'm sure it was a relief to get that out there. But I also think that, like, obviously, that vote was very much picked apart. It was a big cliffhanger from the second to last episode to the last episode. So there was even more buildup on it. So it really seemed like that was affecting her to me. But anyway, I really loved Brittany during her time on Big Brother years ago. And I also really enjoyed her on The Traitors. I think she's a really good reality star. She's funny. She's great at confessionals. She's personable. And I think that she did a really good job at a lot of the roundtables, particularly in the second half of the season. So I was really happy to get some time with her. I have a lot of thoughts, obviously, on the finale and this season and the reunion and the whole thing. But you're going to have to wait until tomorrow's episode where I have somebody on to talk about the season with me. For now, enjoy my interview with Brittany Haynes. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. Happy Monday. I'll see you tomorrow. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Brittany Haynes, who I've been a longtime fan of because I've seen every single season of Big Brother. And so to see her on The Traitors to begin with this season was a thrill. And it's even more exciting to have her on the show today to just get all her thoughts. Brittany, thanks so much for being here morning after the finale and the reunion aired. How are you feeling right now?
Oh my gosh, it's crazy because I knew what was coming for so long. Like, we filmed this, you know, a while ago. And so I knew the way that it was going to end, even as it began. And so I've just been like waiting for this kind of soul crushing moment for me at the end. It's been a lot. It's been heavy. And, you know, the experience overall, great. The specific end, horrendous. Hate it. Worse. Yeah.
What was it like? Because obviously, you knew it happened, but you probably didn't know they were going to do this cliffhanger for the vote. And there's this whole week of like, you also, this past week, I'm guessing, was also like extra sort of, God, like, just like, let's reveal it.
It absolutely was. And also just with everyone theorizing and kind of thinking which way it was going to go. And yeah, it has been a lot of energy. What I hate about it is that it's a TV show. Like, it's literally a TV show. One of many ways that I try to fill my life and earn an income for my family. And what I hate is that when the energy level is so high and when there's so much going on, I feel like it really takes me out of my real life. And I already was out of my real life to actually do it. But to have to be again out of my real life and like feel distracted from like my grounding mechanism, I don't like that. So I love like just the conclusion of everything so that I can like plug back into what's actually real. Yeah. Like the reality of my life that's not the television show.
Right. Well, I will say, like, I saw a tweet this morning that was like, you know what? You're in pretty good company being fifth place, I guess, with Sandra and Kate Chastain. Those are two pretty good names to be with, you know?
I hadn't seen that, but you know what? You're right. That is pretty good. Yeah. That makes me feel better. Thank you.
Good. Good. And I also have to say, like, you know, obviously that round table was really heated, that last round table between you and Dylan, but like you made some incredible points at that round table. And I really think that you carried yourself really well, especially in sort of the second half of the season. You asserted yourself in a really great way at some of those round tables. And so I feel like you should feel good about that.
I mean, every single reason possible for someone to doubt Dylan.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually worked well for me because Dylan's closest ally through the entire game was Danielle. Most of the evidence against me was, well, completely because of Danielle.
Right.
So then I'm able to flip that argument and go, wait a second, weren't you Danielle's bestie? Wait a second, weren't you in the bookcase with Danielle? Who was in the bookcase? Because I wasn't in the bookcase. I was able to really flip everything that he said against me. I could flip that back on him. It worked well against him specifically versus if I would have had to argue against anybody else who had no association with Danielle. So it was kind of nice to have that. I thought it was a great argument. It did show it getting heated, which in real time,
it didn't feel that way.
Well, it took way longer for it to get that escalated.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't just walk in and be like, where were you? Like, it was like, you know, over a long period of time, it kind of escalated. And as he got more and more defensive, I became more and more defensive about the fact that he was being so defensive. And so I feel like it came across as like a little bit more aggressive. In reality, more kind of organically.
Right. But I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, as a viewer, it feels this way where it's like almost every time a traitor gets out, like, the traitor is really animated and really passionate at that round table because it makes sense because you're defending yourself, but like, but most faithfuls don't get that way when they're sort of in the hot seat in that way, it seems like.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think he even maybe like said that because he was like, oh, just like Danielle, like you bring the receipts, like just like Danielle. And I was like, okay, but to be fair though, I kind of did this against more people than just Danielle. I had to go toe-to-toe with Boston Rob, and I was a faithful, you know? And I had to do the same thing against him. Like, I've had to present these arguments against more people than Danielle. So, and that really is just my personality. It's not just because I was a traitor. If I would have still been sitting there as a faithful, I would have thrown the same argument at him. So,
that
argument's actually null and void. Thank you, though, Dylan. Thanks for playing. You won, but also thanks for playing.
I have a very specific question for you. When you revealed your vote, you said, don't come for me unless I send for you. And I'm a Housewives fan. I know that as a Kenya Moore quote.
Kenya Moore, 100,000%.
I love that.
Atlanta is my favorite Housewives franchise for like the one-liners and the clips and specific, oh my God, the reunions. Don't even. Like, no other franchise can come for Atlanta on a reunion level. And yes, that was absolutely an homage to Kenya Moore. The reason that it like kind of came to me was because he was just so offended that someone dare make an argument against him. And so I think that I was trying to put that back on him, like, I didn't ask for you to make an argument against me.
Right. There we go. So Brittany, your banishment happened hours before the game ended, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't know what you were.
Right.
When and how did you find out about what happened?
That is so funny because I don't totally even remember how I found out. I don't remember how I found out, if I'm totally honest.
Interesting. You kind of blacked out that night.
I do remember being asked, like, what do you want to happen? And I was being, like, bratty. And I was like, I want them to throw green and take home table scraps of a prize. And then that is what they did.
Yeah.
But
four ways.
I was totally just being, like, a poor sport. I was, like, mad. And so I was like, I don't want them to get hardly anything. But I actually was surprised that even with that argument that I made against Dylan, that it still wasn't even compelling enough to throw him out at the fire. Like, are you kidding me? Like, why would you take that risk? That's crazy to me. But I guess he was that good of a faithful.
And it gets into this idea that I've been thinking about, because like you were a great faithful until you were recruited, obviously. And like, it must be hard when you're other people in the castle to like comprehend. You've shown so many great qualities of a faithful until like you're not a faithful. It's kind of a mind fuck.
I feel like that actually worked for me because, again, I was able to defend myself against everything Dylan said because I was a faithful 90% of the game. Literally, the only murder that I did was Tom, and that put no blood on my hands because I had a good relationship with Tom. So there was really the crux of the argument that was compelling for him was just that he wasn't recruited. He assumed, and everyone else assumed, that there was a recruitment. And so the fact that it wasn't him made him pretty certain that it was me because we were the strongest two contenders for people who are close to Danielle. And so that made him zero in on me. But I think that it worked to my advantage that I was a faithful for so long because I played as a faithful for 90% of the time.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we only have time for one more question. I had more questions about the Danielle of it all. So I'll kind of wrap it up into one. Carolyn had said that she thought that Danielle shouldn't recruit you. And you've obviously seen that playback. And you've obviously, you know, on the reunion, Bob said, you know, once you were there as a traitor, you didn't have to write Danielle's name down.
Yeah.
Where do you stand when it comes to the whole thing with Danielle? Because she did accept the fact that, like, you made a game, you made it a decision based on a game.
Yes.
And she doesn't trust you, it she seems, but, like, she accepted your reasoning. So where do you stand right now? I know it's hard, but where's your mind at?
Where do I stand about the fact that I voted against her or with her personally? Those were like two different things.
In your decision to vote against her, like, would you do that again?
And my decision to vote against her was carefully weighed against the odds of, first of all, if Dolores was going to vote against her was one facet of the decision. I'm not putting it 100% on that, but it was one facet of the decision. Basically, I didn't want to be the only person who didn't vote for her. In the event that Dolores does flip her vote, I can't be the one and only person at this table who refused, in light of all that evidence, to vote against Danielle. So that was like one line of reasoning, but also just knowing that she was going, her fate was sealed. In my mind, her fate was sealed when she lost Dylan. Dylan was such a crucial point for us to victory. Having Dylan was for us paving the way to victory because he was so influential. When she lost Dylan, I kind of saw that as the writing on the wall for her game. And then I had to weigh in my own mind, how do I now try to trudge forward as an individual, get my hands the least dirty so I have the least to go against at the last banishment table, and try to do this on my own? Because to me, as soon as she lost Dylan, she was essentially dead in the water. And I didn't want to go down with the ship as much as I didn't have to. I did try. You know, I ran around on the castle and tried to secure votes for her. I threw that stupid Ivor vote the first time, just trying to see what I could make stick to the wall. But at the end of the day, I did have to have some self-preservation. If she's totally going down, what put myself in the mind of a faithful, what makes the most sense for me to do as a faithful to try not to get banished? You know, it was absolutely not personal. Do you think that if I would have went into that last round table and all the heat would have been on Dolores, that I would have gone, hey, guys, wait a second.
Exactly.
You need to think about Danielle. Like, there's no way I would have happily coasted all the way to the end of the game. You know, oh my God, thrilled. It's that her own game caught up to her because she had to be a traitor since day one. Really, really, really hard to do. And that eventually led a trail so heavy back to her that it caught up to her and everybody was onto her. If everybody would have not been onto her and if Dylan hadn't turned on her, I would have never been in the situation where I had to choose my own self-interest over our partnership.
Yeah. And especially, and being recruited that late in the game, it's like there are only so many decisions that you could make. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
really, there wasn't that much time left for you to do that. So I think you handled it pretty damn well.
Thank you. It was difficult.
Yeah. Well, Brittany, that's all the time we have. I did want to tell you also that I had Andy, your friend Andy Heron, on the podcast earlier in the season. And we've been talking about the fact that you would make a great trader. So I'm glad that you got your time in that
Thank
position.
You. Thank you. Yeah, I love Andy. He's great.
Yeah, well, congrats on a great game. And it was really fun to watch you, and great to have some time with you.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.